I'm ready.
You ready?
Yeah.
We're ready. All right, I'll go ahead and call us to order for the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on today, Tuesday, June 30th, 2015, if the audience would join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next, we have public comment. Number one, this comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Seeing a rush to the microphone. Item number four, we'll move to the end. I understand Harlan's got some family that's going to come in here a little bit later, so we'll move the recognition to the end. Next, agency reports, Veterans Affairs, Brett McLean. New microphone, Brett.
I was looking at the flashing lights here.
Supposed to be working.
Good. So I don't need to scream or anything, just talk.
Just talk
normal, right?
Talk normally.
Okay.
You can do that.
All right. Well, good morning. Here to report on the fourth quarter for Story County Veterans Affairs, April, May, and June. We've seen six veterans for county benefits, four for rent, and two families for burial. Total assistance was $3,905. Also during the fourth quarter, we assisted 220 veterans and surviving spouses. 95 original claims were developed and sent to VA regional office in Des Moines. 14 claims were reopened for increase due to diagnoses being much worse now than they were when they were first granted service connection. 19 veterans, World War II, 29 Korea, 85 Vietnam. That's kind of our new retirees or our newly retirees there. 15 from Persian Gulf, 16 Cold War, 42 from Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom, and Operation New Dawn. Out of that, we've seen 14 surviving spouses from all the wars, and 19 were enrolled in VA health care. This is about the time of the year that we get our GDX report from the federal VA, the graphic distribution of VA expenditures. So, and they're a year behind, so for FY14, which is, and their FYs run from September to October, showed that Story County had a population of 5,603 veterans. Comp and pen was, which is compensation and pension, was $9.8 million. Voc rehab and education was $3.4 million. Medical care, $9 million. And then they had 1,030 unique patients at VA Medical Center Des Moines. And what that means is if a veteran went down there three times during the year, they just got counted once. And then as of this morning, we had 732 wartime veterans in this county on pension and 781 wartime and peacetime veterans on comp. So the total for FY14, this is money coming into Story County veterans and surviving spouses, is $22.7 million. And when I first seen that report, I thought, now let's go back and look at, I pulled up some FYs, and so I pulled up FY10, see where we're at there, and it was that we were at 13.9. FY04 was 6.8, and going far back to when I first started on the report was 3.9 million or 4 million.
So what you're trying to tell us is that now you're more accurate in your account and your figures, so therefore that can account for the increased volume of money. You figured out a way to collect or to turn in more claims and get more money, right?
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag. It's moving ahead and get more dollars for and get more benefits for our veterans. But remember, every time we lose a veteran, that his or her benefit went with them. Mm-hmm. So we got a loss on that part of it, and we're still gaining roughly, you know, $3.3 million, I believe, in the last year. So these numbers tell us we're moving in the right direction, I guess. Outreach events. We did a Veterans Appreciation Day, May 8th. A couple of years ago, we did the homeless stand downs. Mm-hmm. We just didn't have, and so we were looking at, we just need more veterans, you know, showing up for these events. So we did this Veterans Appreciation Day, fed them, entertained them, did benefits, did all these. So we had 75 veterans that showed up that day. It was May 8th at Banshell Park. What was nice is everything was donated to the county except for Luke's time and my time. So 75 veterans. We had 74 males, one female, 25 spouses. We had 9 children for a total of 109. So we felt that was pretty successful for our first year doing that. And so I'm pretty sure the commission's thinking we should do this probably annually in around May. Seemed to work pretty good. And, you know, Luke and I and the commission, we didn't do this on our own. We had 25 other volunteers that helped out. And then May 19th, we were part of the Seniors Expo. Cost us a little bit of money to do. I think it's $95 for a table at the expo. We've seen 50 veterans that stopped by the table. And about 10 of those actually made an appointment for later on. So we felt that was well worth it there. All right, that pretty much concludes my quarterly report. Does the board have any questions?
Can you give
questions?
Us an update on your Freedom Flight coming up?
October the 6th is the day of the flight. October the 4th is going to be the day of our send-off program. Location TBA. We like the location of City Hall. It's just that we have more people coming to the program than what they have seats. So we're just kind of looking into that. What are we going to do if we can use that, or if we might have to use another location? And then around September, I believe September the 13th, when we're going to have our big meeting with the veterans, do their photos and get them their yellow shirts and hats and jackets and answer their questions. And then I think here pretty soon, or if it's probably already been done, letters been sent out to the veterans so they'll know who's going. Okay. So we'll select some, and pretty sure we're going to fill the plane. And the veterans that are going are going to be right now Korea. We've got 12 to 15 there, and then the rest is Vietnam in country and Vietnam era.
Very good.
So, and this is our final flight. So if you know of any World War II veterans that haven't gone, now's the time to speak up. Or if you know of any veterans that want to go, this is a good time. Last year we had 27 standbys and we took them all. So even if they get a letter saying they're on a standby, there's a pretty good chance things just happen.
Yeah.
Or we have people end up in the hospital and those kind of things. So.
Okay.
Well, I know the committee, as far as the send-off, probably will look at facilities, but in a way, that location is ideal, and even though you've got a packed house, one thing that could make a difference is there. I know I stood up for a while, and a few other people stood up for the last time, that I think some of the younger, more able-bodied people could give up a seat to some of our more senior members to make it more accommodating. But I just think that whole environment and location and so forth has worked extremely well. And I don't know, you know, if we moved it somewhere else, whether we gained that much, you know, just in terms of the few extra people that are temporarily inconvenienced.
I really like that location. You know, and if when you change locations, you change a bunch of things.
Yeah.
Where everything goes, and we're just, you know, this is our fourth time doing this, so I'm hoping that we can use that. So I'm talking with the city now to make that happen. So
okay, thank you.
All right. Yep.
Thanks, Brett. Next, Ireland Ball. Kathy, pronounce your last name for us, Kathy. Your last name?
Yes.
Thank you. Didn't want to mispronounce it.
Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
I'm the clinical director for Ireley Ball Community Mental Health Services in Storey County and Boone County as well. I have with me today Stephanie Schmidt, who is our integrated health home director with the overall agency. And I hope that she speaks a little bit on the integrated health home and brings us up to date on where that program has gone in the past year since its implementation. So, I was just sitting here thinking this is the third year that Ireley Ball has been in Storey County, and I think that we have certainly had our struggles, but the positive outcomes and the improvement in our agency, I think, is also pretty evident. The opening paragraph there for the report just talks about the number of individuals that we have served over those 3 years. And, you know, keep in mind that they do generally see more than one provider inside of our agency. Quite often, if they're getting medication management, they're seeing a therapist or some other kind of support worker in the agency. So we have managed to increase the number of people we're serving. And across the board, I would say that's probably in general with fewer man-hours. So I think that we have cut down on our expenses a little bit and managed to be more efficient in our production. Supported community living has always been a really important part of our agency. It's small, but very consistent in its service to the community, and over the course of this year, our one SDL person has provided services to an average of 25 to 30 people every month. And recently, we were able to go ahead and get permission to increase that program, expand that program. So we did bring on a new full-time person in May, and she is developing her caseload now as we speak. So hopefully we'll be able to double that program in size or someplace close to that in the near future. Okay, Integrated Health Home. This is a program that I talked about last year as a part of the Phase 3 rollout for the state of Iowa Medicaid. And I'm going to have Stephanie talk a little bit about how that has gone in Storey County over the course of this last year and what her team has done.
We started in July, and the first 6 months we were focusing on transitioning the targeted case management clients with Storey County into our integrated health home. And so with their assistance, we were able to successfully do that. We are now currently at 208 individuals we serve in Storey County. The team is based here in Ames, and they also serve Boone County. And they consist of four care coordinators, a full-time nurse, and a peer support specialist. And right now we're focusing on, now that we have everyone transitioned, we're focusing on getting our groups out in the community up and going. So that's what our plans are for this upcoming year, is to provide different health promotions and social groups in the community.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And I think everyone who is involved with that knows that we have had to split our team. We couldn't find a location to house both the IH program and our outpatient clinic. So Stephanie and her team had to find a location down on Duff. So unfortunately, we can't be in the same location, which we, you know, hopefully in the future we'll be able to do something different with that and possibly find a location that will house all of us in one spot. I think it would be the most convenient for our clients. It would be a nice thing to be able to do for them. Okay, the Connections and Pre-Commitment Screening Program, that has been followed through and expanded and moved through this last year, and we will be doing this again in the coming year. We have one individual who is dedicated to these programs. She is a bachelor's level trained person. The Connections program, we serve clients out of Mary Greeley, and that has been growing exponentially over time. This program has served about 52 individuals since we started with it, which is, I think, very good number of folks. We take care of anyone in Boone and Storey County who is being discharged from the hospital to help assure their stabilization following inpatient care. The other part of that position is focused on reducing, hopefully, the mental health commitments in Story County. That has been a project that has we've met with some difficulties, I would say, over the course of the last year in particular. Not only did we have an open spot there for a couple of months, but it's been hard to make connections with the right individuals in order to make this a more inclusive program and involve more people in it. In spite of that, we did do screenings on 12 individuals this year and provided 20 referrals for them. And out of that group, we only had one mental health commitment. So that was a very positive result with a small number. We are now spending some time visiting with the providers at Mary Greeley Hospital in order to really take a look at where are we getting all of the mental health commitments from. Are there different processes we could put in place to maybe reduce some of that number? And I've put the number in here because we've made a concerted effort to spend more time on our court reporting process to assure that we're being the most efficient for the courts in Story County. And we have somewhere in the vicinity of 160 court-committed clients or mental health commitment clients in our facility. We think that's pretty high overall, and I'm hoping that our new process will help get us to the end point sooner with clients and get them off of those court commitments as soon as we possibly can. We're working closer with the judge in that regard to hopefully make that happen. Getting a mental health commitment is not an overly positive event for a person, and so when we can avoid those by getting a person to engage in treatment voluntarily, that's where we would really like to be. And so even if a person comes in initially on a court commitment, the sooner we can get them off of them and onto their own, you know, own will to come into treatment, we think the better. So we will continue in those efforts. This year, we also had some support from the asset group to provide prevention and education in the community. And we think this was one of the best opportunities we had this year. We sought permission to do a mental health awareness activity in the community. We held this on the 2nd of May. And that's in conjunction with the National Mental Health Awareness Week and Month that's been it's been sponsored by the mental health groups probably since 1940s. And so it's really a well-known activity and event that goes on in the mental health community. We were able to pull in a number of other providers in the community to join us in this activity. We set up at the mall for an entire day and offered educational opportunities for folks in the community and met people, let them know what we did, handed out information all day long. So it was really quite a nice opportunity for us. I think that we will have as much or better participation next year in this, and we're looking at ways to improve that day and how we can make that better for the future. The one other thing that we have in process at this particular time for this coming year and looking at additional services, we are working with the City of Ames in the establishment of some kind of crisis response for folks that are identified by the city police. This has been an issue that we have tried to help with over the course of time. It's a difficult group to work with. Often they need mental health care and refuse to participate in that. So we have been meeting with the city and with the police chief to determine the best route to go for addressing those crisis services. So we have an individual hired at this point to help us implement this program. And so we are looking towards the end of July, 1st of August, to get this off the ground. And so we are really, we have a lot of hope that that's going to be very helpful to the city and to the police department in particular for Ames in order to help reduce some of the activities around those particular individuals in the community. So I have added a list of our current staffing with the Arleigh Ball Clinic. Are there any questions? comments.
Do you anticipate continual growth over the next few years, basically as educational outreach occurs, what do you see yourself, say, 3 to 5 years out in terms of your ability to meet the demand in not just Story County, but I raised this question because of our regionalization and so forth now, and as we look at surrounding counties that make up part of our region, whether we will, are we in best position to meet the needs of some of the clientele in those areas?
That's a really good question, Wayne. And that makes me think we've been working this week in particular with accessing surrounding counties as far as county support for individuals without funding. And so it's very big. I mean, honestly, the request for services is very large area we're covering right now. Not a huge number of people, but it does make you think that this is, you know, a potential. We want to position ourselves absolutely to be able to serve as many people as we have requests for in the future. And we are right now contemplating an additional medication provider and registered nurse for the agency. In the past, we have had typically more than one person working in that position where we would have at least an additional day. We have cut back on that because of finances and trying to sort of get ourselves better established with a financial position. And we are at the point now where I would say that we're probably overwhelmed with the number of clients that we're trying to serve, especially from a medication management perspective. It's very intense. Our provider is working very hard. One thing that's really made a difference for us, and a lot of people don't know this, but we have always had to rely on telecoordination for a medical provider in the past. And in February, we were fortunate enough to bring on board a face-to-face provider. And the clients absolutely have responded so well to that. And now that folks know that we have that, we're getting more demand all the time. So what we're hoping to do, of course, is to find another provider who will be in the office face to face. Not sure how much luck we're going to have with that. We may have to, use an auxiliary or an ancillary telecommunication provider to fill that spot. But we will continue to seek out those individuals who could serve us in a face to face capacity, because I think that's certainly what the clients prefer. And it is, you know, it's easier for us as well. I mean, there's no question about that. You avoid the technological problems that come with that other kind of service. And so I think we're always open, Wayne, to whatever the requests are, what the demands are, and always looking to develop the kind of services that the community will benefit from and really needs. So I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it did. But, you know, we hear all the time about our inability to have the proper certified staff to deal with many of the clients that you serve, and with psychiatrists, psychologists, many other areas. And the telesite for a while was the only avenue that was basically available. And so I'm wondering, as we move to the future, is that still going to be our primary source that we're going to need to continue to rely on? Because, as you say, if you cannot get someone in for face-to-face, then the question comes is, what are the enhanced things that needs to take place to make that more, I want to say, acceptable by the clients, you know? And I guess I come from with a family member who've had some experience in the needs for psych medication and so forth, and I know the difference between sitting down face to face with someone versus, you know, the telepsych type of situation doesn't go over quite as well. The face to face is obviously a lot more preferable, but yet if that's what your resources say that you have to do. So I'm curious, is there improvement in that area, in the technology arena, that is being better received in some other areas that maybe hasn't quite matriculated here to Iowa yet. Do you know?
I don't. I think that's a really good question, though. I think that some of the equipment that we have been using recently is relatively good as far as having that sense that you're sort of in the room with a person. I still think that what gets missed in the telecommunications is the nuances. If a good example, if you had a patient who had hand tremors, you wouldn't see it on there. And I think that it lends itself to, I think, maybe even an improvement in nursing care in order to compensate for that, those kinds of issues where maybe we do need to increase our nursing staff in order to accommodate the face-to-face needs that clients have. And I think that's something that certainly we can consider.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
No. Thank you. Yeah, keep up the good work. Glad to have you here in Story County.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Next, we have consideration of minutes from 6:23.
Move approval.
I'll second that. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Two? Aye. Personnel actions as listed.
Move approval as submitted.
Second. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Two? Aye. Consideration of claims.
Also move approval.
A little easier to swallow in 2 weeks.
A little easier to swallow.
I'll second that. Clinton?
Aye.
Two? Aye. Looks like we need to add the road closure and utility permits to the consent agenda. Road closures, 1557 and 58. Utility permits, 1576 and 77.
1576 and 77. Move approval with no changes.
I'll second that. Is there anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Two? Aye. That's been approved. No public hearing items. Additional items. Consideration of Resolution 1581 and Fiscal Year 16 Appropriations Resolution. Lisa Markley, Assistant Auditor. All around nice person.
Oh, thank you so much.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. I don't know that everybody would agree with that. Okay, so what you have in front of you is the...
I'll take care of it here.
Appropriation resolution so that we can start spending FY16 money beginning... Well, today you just approved some. There you go. What I've done is presented you a resolution that has, for most departments, a 50% appropriation of their budget. I want to disclaimer that by saying that the budgets will be reduced, most likely, when we do an amendment, because when we originally budgeted insurance, we budgeted about $2.2 million worth of insurance spread out through the departments, and the numbers came in at about $1.5 million in insurance. So as we spoke at the original budget work sessions and throughout the whole process, we will be lowering the budgets by the insurance dollars that are not needed. So the two departments that are not 50% appropriated are General Betterment and Countywide Services. Those are both being appropriated 100% at this point in time. Those are two departments that the Board of Supervisors has purview over. However, there's a lot of claims that come through right away in those also. And then Veterans Affairs has been lowered by the position that is no longer there as of July 10th. So it's 50% of his original budget less that amount.
Okay. Any questions, Wayne?
No.
This is typical of what we've been doing the last few years.
Correct, yeah. We've been doing the 50% for a while now, and it seems to work pretty well on the cash flow. Yeah.
Okay. I would take a motion to approve.
Move approval.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Resolution 1581 has been approved. Next is Resolution 1582, Fiscal Year 16 Interoperating Transfers.
This is the budgeted amounts for transfers. There is nothing saying that these amounts can't be lower as we work through the year. But I went ahead and put it together as budgeted at this point in time. And if you'll notice, they all say shall not exceed. Mm-hmm. So that means that we don't have to transfer the whole dollars that we have budgeted. I can go through them if you want me to, or you guys can read. It's up to you.
I'm good. Wayne, any questions?
No, I don't have any questions on him.
Okay.
Okay, if there's no further questions there, I would move Resolution 1582 for the interfund transfer.
I'll second that. Is there anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Resolution 1582 has been approved.
Thanks, gentlemen. Happy New Year.
You bet. Same to you. Oh, I got another day. See, it seems like I'm feeling like I'm older already.
Next, we have the consideration of updated flexible benefit policy effective July 1st. Alyssa Wignall, HR Director.
Good morning.
Hi.
I have I have three items on the agenda, and they're all tied together. They are all because of our benefit change effective July 1st. The first one was originally brought to you back in March, on March 10th, with a draft. This is the actual policy now with the draft language removed. It is just resembles exactly what you approved for employee benefits.
Do you have any questions on that, Wayne?
No.
All right.
So I would just move approval of the updated flexible benefit policy effective July 1st, 2015.
I'll second that. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. That's been approved. Next is a consideration of Resolution 1583, Story County Amended and Restated Medical Reimbursement Plan effective July 1st.
Okay. The medical reimbursement plan is directly, that's our flexible spending account. That would be medical reimbursement. Our employees are allowed to contribute up to $2,500 a calendar year. That amount has been regulated now by the federal government. That's the most that you can put into a medical reimbursement account. The reason we updated our plan back in 2012, there have been some changes due to the Affordable Care Act. We have an outside attorney from Davis Brown, Susan Freed, reviewed our medical plan, and there was a needed change for the carryover on that plan. So that's the only thing that changed in our medical reimbursement plan here at the county.
Okay. Any questions?
Nope. Move approval of Resolution 1583 for the amendment of the restated medical reimbursement plan.
I'll second that. Is there anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. 1583 has been approved. Next, Resolution 1585, Story County amended and restated flexible benefit plan effective July 1st.
Okay. This is the last plan document. Since we did have some significant changes to our benefit plan here at the county, we had to update our plan document to reflect those changes. So prior to that, the medical insurance was included in a flexible benefit. That has been removed. That language has been changed in our plan document. And they also have a provision in there that we are allowed to pre-tax the employee contributions. They're run through our cafeteria 125 plan. You just need to make sure you've got your plan document that allows you to do that in case there's ever an audit. They can refer back to your plan document. The other item in this plan that needed to be updated was under the mid-year events. There were a there's a provision in there due to the Affordable Care Act that allows employees to revoke their election. Now, if an employee wants to either add or drop health insurance, dental, anything like that, they have to have a qualifying event. The Affordable Care Act says now you have to allow your employees to revoke their election if they become eligible to purchase insurance on the marketplace.
Is that any time during the calendar year?
You know, they would still need a qualifying event outside of the marketplace open enrollment period. So any time outside of the November to the end of January, they would need a qualifying event, just like they would need here to either elect a benefit or revoke a benefit.
Well, explain a little bit, what do you mean by a qualifying event? I mean, that's a term that most people...
Yeah, the IRS specifies what can be qualifying events. Birth, death, divorce, loss of coverage. Your spouse changes employment, they are now eligible for coverage through their employer. That allows them to revoke their coverage through us. Does that answer your question?
That's what I need. Thank you. There are no further questions. I would move approval of Resolution 1585 for the amended restated flexible benefit plan effective July 1st.
I'll second that. Is there anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Two?
Aye. That's been approved.
No more departmental reports. Public forum number two. Comments from the public on items not on the agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but may do so in the future. Liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Wayne?
No pass.
Pass also announcements from the supervisor. Wayne?
Just a couple things. Last Friday, I attended the ISAC Board of Directors meeting again. It's just a usual, a very good meeting and so forth. We had a lot of things on the agenda to basically deal with. One of the things that I will report that will be coming through, and I don't think we as a county has to take any action on, but I serve on the SEED committee, which is a committee that oversees and works with the election training for auditors, and we had to revise our 2080 agreement and take out some language as it directly related to the HAVA funds that was about to be all expended. There was something like $97,000 submitted, and there was about $50,000 left over, but the committee felt that those funds will probably be utilized at the end of this particular year. But one of the things, there was no provision in the that basically said that the Secretary of State had to appropriate, you know, those remaining dollars. So language was put into the new 28 where we were asking for a commitment from the Secretary of State to make sure that those remaining dollars of the HAVA fund would still go into the election training module that SEAT was created for. And now it's up to the ISACA, which is an organization made up of county auditors, the Iowa State Association of Counties, and the Secretary of State Office to approve that new 2080 agreement. Ironically, the agreement is only going to be a year, and it's primarily as a result of the Secretary of State was just not comfortable with a long-term 5 to 10 year agreement with some uncertainty of funding for the continuation of that program. So our committee that I serve on is going to be charged with working with ISACA, the auditors group, the Iowa State Association of Counties, and any other entity to try to see how we can maintain additional funding. Some of it could involve increased fees for the registrations for some of the sessions that the auditors have to attend. Others could be, you know, contributions from either ISAC or ISACA, et cetera. So I think that was going to be probably one of the biggest changes. And then I'm going to ask Leanne, the Iowa State Association of Counties put together a video of
dealing with the role of ISAC and the things that we do, and we're encouraged to put that on our website and make it available for the general public, as well to share with our elected officials and so forth. So hopefully that's something that we are going to be able to do to help promote what counties do. So I just wanted to give you a little update on that.
Very good. I'll pass. And is everybody here? We still wait.
My wife isn't here yet.
Okay. Well, I think what we can do is we can recess.
Sure, we could.
And then when everybody's here, we'll go back into session and finish our business. I'm ready.
Well, now so we'll reconvene.
Yep. Well, as is typical, the star of the show has arrived, so we'll go ahead and call us back into session.
Sorry.
The only item left on our agenda that we hadn't covered was recognition for Harlan Morton. Harlan has been a Veterans Affairs Commissioner here in Story County, according to the plaque, since 1988. I've probably known Harlan that long or a little bit longer. And I can tell you that the veterans of Story County have been well served by Mr. Morton's service on the VA Commission. I know personally that Harlan didn't shy away from coming in to fill in the VA office if need be, answer the phones, and meet with veterans. Harlan wasn't afraid to go out with Brett on some home visits on a time or two, and I think that worked out very well. Like I said, I've known Harlan for a good many years. He's a good man. He's done a good job. He's left some big shoes to fill. Pat, I'm not sure what size shoes you've got, but we'll do the best that we can. I don't know, Brad, if you've got anything you want to say. If not, we'll present the plaque to.
I think we ought to. And then we ought to give Harlan at least a minute or two. We're not going to allow him 28 minutes.
Okay. Good idea. Well, Harlan was one of the original commissioners that hired me, so I've been working with him for 17 years. And you know, talking with Harlan when he first started in 1988, I didn't know this, but compensation for a commissioner at that time was $5 a month. So I'm not thinking that attracted him to the position, but
it doesn't work like that. Sorry.
And then over time, though, a lot of the outreach programs that we're doing and the activities with American Legion. Going to those meetings is really Harlan-driven. The enrollment days that we have, that's probably the supermarket. Actually, I think that started way back before I started. It's called the cafeteria. Harlan's always been right there. When we do our supermarket, this is kind of funny, but I usually have the commissioners decide if they wanted to work the morning or the afternoon. Well, at the time, all the commissioners would pick morning or afternoon, except for Harlan. He would pick the whole day because he didn't want to miss anything. And he was kind of the person that all the veterans seen when they came in, and he would direct them to what table they needed to go to. So I really appreciate all the help that Harlan's given the Story County Veterans Affairs. And he always seems to be working. And even though starting tomorrow he's not going to be a county commissioner, he's still going to be an advocate for Story County veterans. And I gave you a little story here. I was in McCallsburg. You know what I'm going to say now, Harlan. I was in McCallsburg, and Harlan and I and his wife was up there on the stage, and we're talking with about 300 people. And I forget what I was up there for, but I know that he had his mind on the next event, which was the cemetery, And the bugler, I know, was in his mind of where she was at. So anyway, while we were up there talking, did your phone on today? Okay, Harlan's phone went off. We're in front of 300 people, and I hear, hello. And he had this conversation. It was the bugler. He set it up for the next event. And meanwhile, I think they had the audience sing a couple songs or something. So anyway, Harlan, I really appreciate your support for Story County Veterans Affairs and the things that you've done to help the veterans that are getting benefits.
Basically, I'll just echo, you know, all of that has already been said. I think Paul encapsulated really the outstanding career, the involvement. You know, he was always what you call the go-to commissioner. If there was anything that needed to be done, you could always count on the fact that Harlan would be the person to step up to the plate and see that it was done for the benefit of the veterans of Story County. And over the years, I always got a kick out of being at the meetings and coming in, because no matter what, he was going to always kind of be challenging and advocating on behalf of veterans for Story County. And we developed a unique, warm, friendly relationship over those years. And to see you come to an end of 28 years, you know, when you go back and look at almost a quarter of a century of what you have brought to the veterans of Story County, you certainly will be very difficult to replace. But we always know that any successful program has a foundation. And once a foundation has been put in place because of people like yourself, it just continues to move on to the next chapter. And that legacy that you have established in terms of leadership and commitment as a commissioner, you know, will be everlasting. And we will always be endeared to for your many years of service and your commitment. And while as you travel to different parts of the country and enjoy whatever your next phase in life, we know that you're going to have Story County close to your heart. And again, I want to thank you personally because I've had a little longer tenure than most of the other supervisors over the 15 years that I've been here. To see you be a part of it. And I think, Harlan, you'd probably agree that what's one of the true testaments of the impact you've made is the people that you look around. You look at some of the past commissioners that have served with you here, that took the time out to be here today, as well as family, I think is a tribute to how they feel about you. So, again, on behalf of Story County, I can't thank you enough for your years of service. And now...
Yep, I'll just... Say one thing. We've got a couple of former commissioners.
Yep.
Dave Willens, Brian Anderson's here. Pat Deacon's our incoming commissioner.
Yep.
And thanks to all of you guys for your service and for your service to the country. So we'll present Harlan with his plaque.
Well, Harlan, I was going to wear a tux today. I didn't want to upstage you, so I messed up.
And he's telling the truth. This plaque reads Harlan Borden, Story County Veterans Affairs Commissioner, August 1988, June 2015. Thanks for a job well done, Harlan. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Please go over here someday.
No, I'm going to take a picture.
Oh, okay. Have a picture. Oh, no, I hope you crop this.
You can have a seat right there.
Okay.
That mic's ready to go.
Now, Wayne, you said I could only talk 2 minutes, but you know I talk longer than that. First of all, I feel like I have been very blessed to be able to hold this position for 28 years. I know there's probably a time where Wayne wished that I would have been off the commission, but no, I have been an advocate for the Story County veterans for many years. To just give you a little history, when I first started, we had a part-time director who was Jane Olson, and she was a non-veteran. She worked for the maintenance department as their secretary, and she filled in as director of Story County. And at that time, we had $1.5 million worth of federal benefits coming to the county. $1.5 million of tax-free money that's spent in the county. And today, we're up to $22.7 million of tax-free money. That has increased the economy of Story County, let the veterans purchase cars, whatever. But to give you an example, we have strived to reopen cases. One of the cases that we reopened was this gentleman got out of World War II. He had frostbite on his feet, and he was given a 10% disability. We reopened a claim a few years ago, and he was in pretty much need, and he got a check for $150,000 for back benefits because they misdiagnosed him coming out of Korea. Another one had shrapnel in him, and we fought and fought to get him benefits, and we got him benefits. He come to me after he got them, and he pulled out a $100 bill, and he said, "Harlan, I want to give you this for helping." I said, "No. The satisfaction I get for you getting the benefit that you deserve is all the reward that I need." Brian Anderson, Dave Lilland, Terry Greenfield, Pat Pekin, he's coming in, but Lee Bauer, our other commissioner. I have been very blessed to work with some great people. We have accomplished a lot.
Just here comes Lee. In the door.
And here comes Lee. He's always late. But anyway, you know, Luke, he came to our office 4 years ago. We had, I think, $13.9 million. We have grown from a part-time, non-veteran director to a two-person office, and I hope the board will pray. I pray that the board will continue with a two-person office. We need a two-person office for the veterans of Story County. We don't need to go backwards on helping people. The veterans are the Story County heroes, and we need to make sure that we are there to help them. And with vacation, education, all the time that Brett's away from the office, we've got nursing home visits, we've got spousal visits. My mother-in-law, my father-in-law passed away, and my mother-in-law, she couldn't get out. And so Brett made a home visit, got spousal benefits for my mother-in-law. There's all kinds of instances where we got to be out of the office. And so we have to have somebody in the office for the walk-in veteran that we have in Story County. And with that, I really want to say thank you to the Board of Supervisors, because we have been fortunate here in Story County to have a Board of Supervisors that has been veteran, pro-veteran. You know, if we run out of a budget item, we come to you and you make an amendment and you help us. And there's always the need for good supervisors, and we have been fortunate to have great ones. And Wayne Clinton, you have been a great liaison for the veterans of Story County, for the VA office. And we really appreciate that, Wayne, for your many years. I know Deb Schildroth is going to be taking your place as our liaison, but if you need me for anything to support a two-person office, I am going to be around so I can help to lead you in the right direction.
No, you've actually ended up increasing by two, because both Deb and I will work together on behalf of the veterans. It's not that, you know, I'm
in totally, the office.
It's not that I'm totally going to be directly involved with you guys.
Okay.
But she will be able to fill in and cover some things and work with some of the programs and services and other things, and report back to us on some needed things that we should be focusing on to help improve service to veterans. So,
but like I said, though, I know you just decreased the budget by our second person.
Right.
And Luke, he can testify also the need of two people in that office. And I know he's leaving, and we really appreciate your service too, Luke. July 10th is his last day, and he has really rewarded our office and rewarded the veterans of Story County with all the help that he's done. So with that, you know, I got tears in my eyes. It was tough to leave, but when I have to be Skyped down in Florida at the meeting, you know, you've got to be hands-on. You've got to be in Story County, and that's why I think Pat will do a great job. With that, thank you very much, and I hope I didn't run over my 2 minutes.
No, you didn't. That's everybody standing. You've had to put up with an awful lot. Let's get a family picture.
We will. Make a motion to adjourn.
Huh?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Hey, one more thing. I really want to support or thank my family for the support that they have given me and the time that they've given up plans to go somewhere that I had to be here to help the veterans. So thank you, family. I really appreciate it.
Okay. I have moved adjournment of the meeting.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.
Yeah. We'd like to get a-